Love does compel us, doesn't it? And what can touch our heart more than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? And it should compel us to live as He would want us to live and to do what He would want us to do and to please Him. So thank you so much. We appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, if you would please. John chapter 15. If you need a copy of the Word of God, just raise your hand and go with us to the Gospel of John up here in the front, if you would please. John chapter 15, if you would please, page 1136. The Gospel of John, John's Gospel in John chapter 15. The Gospel of John in John chapter 15. So good to have Keith and Brandon here with us this morning. It's good to see you guys. And good to see your smiling face, Brandon. Appreciate you getting Dad to come here today, all right? And that's wonderful. That's good. The Gospel of John in John chapter 15, our study. We're going through the Gospel of John in our morning service, and our study this morning brings us to a very important part of John's Gospel. I think it's really important in light of what we're about to do as a church, and that is embark upon a Vacation Bible School and Teen Classic. It speaks here, Jesus is speaking to His disciples about their ability to bear fruit to the glory of God. So this morning we're going to be dealing with the issues of fruit bearing, what it means to abide in Christ. We're going to cover a couple of areas of confusion that exist or revolves around this passage of Scripture as well. So if you've got your Bibles open, let's stand together and we'll begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 15 and verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Would you read that verse with me one time, please? Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, for what's been done this past week, and yesterday and Thursday night, and just all the activity, all the work that Mrs. Scheffler's been doing and Mrs. Reese has been doing throughout the week, Lord, of seeking to get prepared and ready for Vacation Bible School. And as we continue to march forward, Lord, today, passing out flyers later tonight and getting Bible School prepared this afternoon, this evening, Lord, as we go out tomorrow and throughout this week, Lord, as we prepare ourselves, Lord, we pray that we would be people who would bear much fruit for you, and that you would be glorified. I pray that you teach us this morning about the things that are needed in our lives in order to be fruit-bearing Christians. I thank you for each and every one that's here, and I pray, Lord, you'd work through your word in our hearts and lives this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. Our text this morning is one of those passages in the Bible that you have to properly consider its context, or else it's going to lead you into error and confusion. The whole discussion of what's taking place in the first 8 verses of this chapter is between Jesus and His disciples. He's talking to them about the idea of abiding in Him in order to bring forth fruit. They have exited the upper room. Remember, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, Jesus' last time with his disciples before he's betrayed, preparing them for when he's going to leave and go to heaven and they'll be left on this earth to carry on the work of God. Chapters 13 and 14, they've been in the upper room. They've been having the Last Supper. But then when we come down to the end of chapter 14 and verse 31, Jesus said, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." He says to his disciples, he says, "Arise, let us go from hence." So get the idea that Jesus now has taken his 11 disciples, because Judas has already left and gone to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's taken the remaining 11 disciples, and now they're making their way out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they're making their way out to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus continues to speak to his disciples. He continues to say words to his disciples that he wants them to keep in mind once he's departed up to heaven and he's left them behind to carry on the work of God. And as he begins to unfold in this passage of Scripture, he begins in verse 1 by saying, "Hey, I, Jesus, I'm the true vine. My Father, he's the husbandman. He's the farmer, if you would please. And I want you guys to realize you're the branches." In verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the what? Branches." Then he goes on to begin to talk to them about bearing fruit, abiding in the vine in order to bring forth that fruit. Notice verse 4, once again, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide," Jesus said, where? "In me." And he says in verse 5, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And then Jesus said in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, and if you don't have a marching Bibles, mark it. Jesus said, "For without me ye can do" what? You can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to his disciples about this idea of abiding in him, this idea of bringing forth fruit. I encourage you to take your Bible sometime and maybe just circle the words "abide" in this passage. In those 8 verses, it appears 7 different times. It's found 3 times in verse 4. It's found once in verse 5. It's found once in verse 6. And it's found twice in verse 7. Jesus is speaking to them about this important need of abiding in him. Truth of the matter is, if we believers do not learn to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never amount to anything for God in this life. Because Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do" what? "Nothing." And so we've got to learn what Jesus means by this idea of having an abiding relationship with him. Now, I want to say to begin with here this morning that it's not talking about our salvation. Abiding in Jesus in John 15 is not the issue of our salvation whatsoever. We know that our salvation is a settled deal. You see, Jesus was speaking to men who were already saved. He's speaking to his disciples. And he's instructing his disciples, "Fellas, you've got to learn to abide in me." You know, if you're here and you're a child of God, your position in Christ is a secure position. It's something that the Lord Jesus Christ has already settled for you. And it has nothing to do with this idea of John 15 of abiding in the vine. Salvation is about Christ abiding in us, truthfully. And when we come to accept what Jesus Christ did for us, the book of Colossians says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." You know, the fact that we have Christ within us is the assurance of our home in heaven. You know, why do I have the assurance of going to heaven when I die? Because I've got Christ within me. And Christ is my provider of life. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 John chapter 5, if you would please. 1 John chapter 5. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. Over to your right, the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, page 1325. Page 1325, the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, And notice what the Bible says here. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 11, the Scripture says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." And notice the Bible says, this life is where? It's in His Son. So if Christ is abiding in you, then you have life in you. Because eternal life is found where? In God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 12 goes on to say this, "He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And those who do not have the Son," look what the verse goes on to say, "hath not what? Life." But those of us that have come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may," look at the word, what is it? "Know that you have" what? "Eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." So the issue of salvation is an issue that's already been settled because we have Christ within us. And Christ is our life. So this idea of John 15 is not dealing with the idea of, you know, abiding in Christ in order to get salvation. No, they already had salvation. They had salvation because Christ was abiding in them. They had salvation because Christ was their life. Abiding in Christ in John 15 is not talking about salvation. Neither in John 15, going back to John chapter 15, is it talking about fearing the loss of our salvation. Go back with me to John chapter 15, if you would please. Going back to John chapter 15. The issue in John chapter 15 is not about fearing the loss of our salvation. You see, sometimes people read this passage of Scripture and they look in verse 2 and they say, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh" what? "Away." And then they look down in verse 6 and it says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast" what? "Forth as a branch" and is what? "Withered." And the Bible says, "Then men gather them and cast them afar, and they are" what? "Burned." You know, sometimes people read those words in that passage and they think, wow, you know, that's talking about I can be taken and cast into hell once I'm saved. No, that's not talking about that at all. The subject matter of this passage is not about salvation. It's about abiding in Christ in order so that you can bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. Let me use this illustration. This morning, I went outside and I clipped a branch out off of my crab tree. See those little crabs on it? I had the pruner sitting on the kitchen table. My wife was wondering, why are they there? Why don't you put those up? I said, they're there because I want them there. And I didn't put them up. I had a plan. She didn't always understand my plans. I don't always communicate my plans. Typical male. Right, guys? That's right. Come on, man. Support me. Brother Michael, I have a little pruning to do this morning. Your tongue a little long? You're supposed to support me in these things, brother. I have to spend the night somewhere. I'm coming to your house. And you're not saying no. I went out this morning and clipped this branch off of my crab apple tree. You see, it's got a couple of crab apples. You know, what good are crab apples? Nothing other than fighting with. That's right. You can have good fights with them. Of course, we would do it in Christian love, Chauncey. I clipped the branch from my tree. Let me ask you a question. After a while, what's going to happen to these leaves? Yeah, they're going to wither up, shrivel up, aren't they? They're already not looking as good as they were when I first did it. And I just did this early this morning, so, you know, it's not been too long removed. But, you know, I've taken that branch and I've removed it from the tree. You with me? Now, how many more crab apples is this branch ever going to have on it? It's not going to have any on it, is it? Why? because it's gotten removed from its source of nourishment, its source of vitality, its source of life, see? And so therefore, it's going to be a fruitless branch. And when it becomes a fruitless branch, you know what I need to do with that branch? I just need to cast it aside. I know I need to throw it on the wood pile. You know what the wood pile is? That's the pile of brush that I've got out behind the house. That in cooler weather, when it's a little more damp outside, I'll take a match and I'll light it and I'll burn it up. Why? Because this branch is good for nothing. In the sense of bearing what? Fruit. This branch will never do anything. It will never do anything. It is absolutely useless because I removed it from its source of vitality and life. Does everybody understand this? And so the illustration in John chapter 15 is that of taking a branch that is fruitless, cutting it off, casting it aside, just burning it up because it's good for what? It's not good for anything. Has nothing to do with a person losing their salvation, someone dying and going to hell that's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's another impossibility. In John chapter 10, look over in John chapter 10 and look what the Bible says. In John chapter 10, the Bible says this in verse 28, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and I give unto them, in John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus says, I give unto them, look at this now. What does he give to us? Eternal life. And because he's given us eternal life, notice the Bible says, they shall what? Never what? Perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my what? Hand. Now Jesus did not say there, you're not going to perish as long as you bear fruit. Did he say that? See, the condition of our salvation is not upon our fruit bearing. The condition of our salvation is putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For by grace you're saved through faith. So when we put our faith in Christ, God saves us, He gives us eternal life, and He promises we're never going to perish. We're never going to perish. Which means that once we're saved, we're never going to be lost. We're never going to die and go to hell. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a blessing, isn't it? To realize that once I'm saved, once I've put my faith in Jesus, I've accepted Christ and what He's done for me on the cross of Calvary, I don't have to be afraid of losing my salvation. Hey, God's taking care of that. Jesus has given me eternal life. He says, I'm never going to perish. And He says in that verse, neither is anyone going to pluck them out of my what? Hand. So when you came to believe on Christ as Savior, hey, Jesus got a hold of you. And He put you in His hand. Pretty neat. I'm in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, hey, nobody can pluck you out. Nobody can pluck you out. And not only that, but notice what the next verse says. The next verse goes on to say, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my what? Father's hand. So not only are we found in the hand of Jesus, we're also found in the hand of the Father, and no one is greater than the Father, not even the devil himself, that can take us out of His hand. So once we're saved, the Bible teaches that we're saved, we're safe, we're secure for all of eternity. See, John chapter 15 is not talking about how to be saved. John chapter 15 is not talking about how to keep saved. Hey, listen, we don't keep ourselves saved. God does that. Amen. Jesus does that. What it's talking about is our need to stay plugged in to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, verse 1, what did Jesus say in John 15, 1? Look at it in your Bibles. I am the what? Vine. You see that? I'm the true vine. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine. Now my Father, He's the guy that comes along with the pruners. Okay? He's the guy that comes along with the pruners. He's the husbandman. Okay? He's the husbandman. We're the guys that are the what? We're the branches that God wants us to bear fruit. See, God wants to see your branch with fruit, crab apples. Well, not crab apples, but He wants to see your branch with other people that you've been involved in winning to Christ. I think about those 21 people who came yesterday to help pass out those Vacation Bible School flyers. I don't know how many children we'll end up with at Vacation Bible School. I don't know how many children will be saved at Vacation Bible School. But I'm going to tell you something. Whatever children get saved at Vacation Bible School, those 21 branches that were here yesterday, you know what? They're going to have some fruit hanging off their branches. Now, the fruit that this passage of Scripture is talking about is not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of God's children as we yield ourselves to the Lord. Love, joy, peace, goodness, those things, temperance, those things. They're listed over in Galatians chapter 5. But that's the fruit of the Spirit. This is talking about the fruit of the Christian. Verse 16. Look what verse 16 says. It's God's will for all of us as God's people to be fruitful people. Notice verse 16. Verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen who? You. So you've been chosen by God. And notice what God has chosen us to. He says, I've chosen you, I've ordained you, that you should go and bring forth what? Fruit. So the Lord wants you as a branch to be bringing forth fruit. Look over in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. The book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 11. This will be on page 680 if you need a page number. Book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 80. By the way, I appreciate everyone that came out yesterday, and I just want to commend our men and thank those men and young men that came yesterday. I'm not against our ladies coming and going, and I appreciate every lady that came and went yesterday. So don't take this as a slap or a pastor doesn't appreciate our labors. But I just want to say here this morning, our men and young men outnumbered our ladies yesterday, and I appreciate that. You know, in our churches, too many times, it's the women that are doing all the things. And us men need to take the leadership, and we need to set the pace. And I appreciate the fact that we had more fellas here than ladies yesterday. That doesn't mean it's always going to be that way this week. But I do appreciate that, and I'm not putting down you ladies. I appreciate your labor just as much as the guys. But I just wanted to commend our fellows. I think they need to be commended when they do something well. Amen? That's right. Because we hear about it when we don't do something well, Brother Michael. Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs chapter 11, you're not getting over that one yet, brother. Proverbs chapter 11, but I love you in Jesus, all right? Proverbs chapter 11, notice if you would please in verse 30. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of what? Life. And he that winneth souls is what? Wise. You know, God wants all of his people to be soul winners. He wants all of his people to be taking the gospel to the lost world. He wants us all to constantly be reaching out with gospel tracts, reaching out with a gospel witness, reaching out trying to bring people to the knowledge of the truth that they can hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And the Bible says that you are a branch in the Lord Jesus. You're hanging off the vine. And He wants fruit on you. He wants to see the people that you're winning to Christ. You see, the fruit of the Christian is other people that we have winning to Christ. If you had a peach tree, you'd have peaches hanging off your branch. If you had an apple tree, you would have apples hanging off your branch. Well, we have Christians. What are we to be? Hanging off our branch. Christians, people that we win to Christ. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Now go back to John chapter 15, because in John chapter 15, it speaks about four different levels of fruit bearing. Four different levels of fruit bearing in John chapter 15. Notice it speaks about the branch that bears no fruit in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, notice it says, he the husbandman taketh what? Away. So that's talking about being pruned by the Father. The branch that is fruitless. That's the good-for-nothing Christian. And that's not God's intent. That's not God's will. You see, God wants us to go on to bear fruit. He goes on to say, and every branch that beareth fruit. We can call that the some fruit Christian. Notice it says, the Father purges it, He prunes it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Ultimately, God wants us to be in the area of bringing forth much fruit. Because He tells us in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, look at it now, bringeth forth what? Much fruit. And then verse 8 it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear what? Much fruit. And not only is the Father glorified as we bear much fruit, but the Bible says, so shall ye be my what? Disciples. Now, in order to bear fruit, we must abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we want to have our focus this morning in this message. How do we abide in the Lord Jesus? And what does it mean to abide in the Lord Jesus? Well, abiding in the vine means that you're walking and living in fellowship with the Lord. You're walking and living in fellowship with the Lord. You keep yourself connected. Jesus said, I am the true what? Vine. Ye are the branches. Well, you remove yourself from the vine, you're going to wither spiritually. You're going to dry up spiritually. You're not going to bear fruit spiritually. In order to bear fruit, you've got to keep yourself connected. You've got to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to learn to live in communion with the Lord. Now tonight, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, what some people call communion. And we certainly encourage you to be back tonight for that service. But what I'm talking about here tonight is not sitting at a communion service. I'm talking about an ongoing, daily relationship with the Lord, where you keep yourself plugged in to the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep yourself connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are drawing spiritual strength. You are drawing spiritual vitality. You are drawing spiritual nourishment from the Lord in order that you, as a branch, can bring forth fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it take for us to be able to do that? What I'm going to say here this morning, it starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. You have to have a heart to want to walk with the Lord. A heart to want to walk with the Lord. Look over in the book of Philippians, if you would, please. A heart to want to walk with the Lord. Some people are saved. They know Christ as Savior. They're on their way to heaven. But they don't really have a heart to want to walk with the Lord. God just sort of gets plugged into their lives every once in a while when He's convenient. Now, we're talking about a heart to want to walk with the Lord on a daily basis. Notice, if you would, please, in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, it expresses in Philippians chapter 3 a heart desire of the Apostle Paul. And in Philippians chapter 3, notice in verse 10, the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, page 1260. Look what the Apostle Paul expresses. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, he says, that I may, look at this now, that I may, what's the word? Know Him. Now, Paul's not talking about knowing Christ as Savior. He already knew Christ as Savior. He's talking about knowing Him in fellowship. Knowing Him in communion. He says, I want to know the Lord Jesus. I want a close relationship with the Lord Jesus. I want to know the power of His what? Resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of His what? Sufferings. Being made, look at this now, conformable unto His what? Death. In essence, Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know the life of Christ in my life. See, Colossians says, but when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. And every child of God needs to learn to grow in Christ. Remember our theme for this year? To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in our walk with the Lord. We need that Christ to literally become our lives. To live and walk in the power of His resurrection. The Christian life is never lived successfully in our own power, in our own strength. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of Christ what? Resurrection. That I may know Him. The power of His resurrection. Paul says, I want the fellowship of His what? Sufferings. That's not a fellowship we really run to and like an awful lot. And yet if we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the desire of the fellowship of the sufferings. Being made conformable unto His what? Death. Lord, I want my life to be You. I just want my life to be You. I want everything about my life to be Jesus. 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 I want to walk like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. I want to have the attitudes of Jesus. I want to be surrendered to the Father in the same way that Jesus was surrendered to the Father. I want my entire life to be the Lord Jesus. It's learning to walk in fellowship with Him. It's learning to have communion with Him on an ongoing basis. You see, it begins with the heart. It begins with the heart. And that's something that I can't stand here this morning and do for you. That's not anything that any preacher can produce in your life. A heart to want to know the Lord, to live like the Lord, to serve like the Lord, to be yielded to the Father and surrendered to the Father like the Lord. That's a heart issue that has to begin in your heart. So how do we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, it begins in the heart. It begins in the heart. But secondly, there has to be some actions of abiding that take place. Going back to John chapter 15, notice if you would please, Jesus does say to His disciples to abide in Him. There has to be some actions of abiding in the Lord. And in verse 4, Jesus says, once again, look at it please, abide in who? Me. So He says, I want you to abide in Me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in where? The vine. And no more can you, except ye abide where? In Me. I am the vine. Verse 5, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, is the same, bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me he can do nothing. If a man abide not, see, the Lord's saying there, we've got to have some abiding actions that take place, whereby we do stay connected with the Lord, whereby we do draw strength from the Lord. You say, Pastor, what are some abiding actions that have to take place in my life in order for me to draw strength and substance from the Lord? Well, I've got to spend time in God's Word. I've got to spend time in God's Word. Look over in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. When's the last time you spent time in the Word of the Lord? Time in God's Word. Yeah, if you're not spending time in God's Word, what are you removing yourself from? You're removing yourselves from the vine. And if you remove yourself from the vine, how long are you going to live, spiritually speaking? How long are you going to stay green? How long are you going to have fruit? How long is it going to take before you begin to wither up? Not very long, is it? Sure not. And so here's part of the action of abiding in Christ, spending time in the Word of God. And don't just sit there this morning and think, well, you know, that's what the preacher's always supposed to say. He's always supposed to get on my case about reading the Bible. Listen, this is not about getting on anybody's case. It is about helping God's people learn what you got to do to stay connected, to grow spiritually, to be able to produce fruit. And in order to do that, we've got to spend time in the Word of God. And in John, or Matthew chapter 4, look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4. in verse 4. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Notice the Bible says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Hey, listen, we need God's words in our lives. And it's nothing we can go on vacation from. I'm glad that some of our folks have made it back. I'm glad Pastor and Mrs. Silas and kids have made it back from vacation. Boy, they've had a wonderful time. They can tell you all about their two-week whirlwind tour, all right? And, you know, vacation, if you want a vacation to rest, they did not take one, all right? And, I mean, they took a vacation to see things, all right, and do things. And that's fine, okay? Glad to have the Brights back. And they had a little vacation time. They had more of a restful time, a relaxing time. And Cheryl was telling me she got up early one morning, and I guess even maybe as the sun was coming up or something, and real early, and she says, "I went and caught Rick a fish for breakfast." And she said, "Man, I just went down to the lake and threw it in and first cast out there and just got this fish. And I came carrying it up to the tent for Rick and said, 'Rick, I've got your breakfast right here. You know, this fish right here, all right?'" And I don't, you know, being put on a diet like that is not much fun for a vacation, okay? But that's, you know, sometimes that's what happens, all right? Now the point is this. We've had some people that have been gone on vacation. We're glad to have them back. We thank the Lord for that. My illustration is this. We can never take a vacation from the Word of God in our lives. Because if we do, we're not staying connected with the vine. And if we're not staying connected with the vine, what happens to us spiritually? We begin to shrivel up. We begin to wilt. And we begin to be fruitless Christians. Fruitless Christians. And yet that's not God's intent for any of us. That's not God's will for any of us. God wants us to be branches that are out there that have leaves just looking like the most gorgeous leaves that ever existed on the face of the earth. God wants us to see those big apples hanging off of us, really the people that we win to Christ, other Christians hanging off of us. In order to do that, hey, listen, it starts in the heart saying, "I want to walk in fellowship with the Lord. I want to have a close relationship with Christ." And then it continues with some particular actions that we've got to take in our lives. We've got to spend time in the Word of God. We've got to develop that daily dialogue of speaking to God in prayer. Just not an action of one time a day, but a daily dialogue of communing with the Lord, of talking to the Lord throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 1270. Just having an ongoing dialogue with God. Spending time with God throughout the day, talking to the Lord. Just sharing your heart, sharing your burdens. Talking to Him, praying about Bible school, praying for your pastor, praying for your church, praying for lost souls to be won to Christ. Praying for the weather, that the Lord will send rain at the time that we're not passing those flyers out. Because we do need water, do we not? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice what the Bible says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Scripture says that we are to pray without what? Ceasing. Ongoing dialogue with the Lord. Ongoing fellowship with God in prayer. The Scripture says, casting all of our care upon Him, for He what? Careth for us. So we've got to spend time in the Word. We've got to spend time in prayer. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10, if you would please. We're talking about some actions, some abiding actions that must take place in our lives. Spending time in the Word of God. Spending time with the Lord in prayer. Spending time in church. Spending time in church. Well, that'll help you to abide in the vine. Hebrews chapter 10, if you would please. In Hebrews chapter 10, notice the Bible tells us this. In Hebrews chapter 10, being in your place at all the services of the church. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day what? Approaching. Now those of us that have our spiritual eyes open realize that the day of the Lord is approaching. Our time on this earth is short. It's running out. And the Lord says that our fellowship with fellow believers as we get closer to the Lord's return is of the essence. And we're not to forsake it. We're not to forsake the assembling ourselves together. We're to exhort one another. And boy, how we need brothers and sisters in Christ to lovingly exhort one another. Lovingly encourage one another. Have you ever stopped to consider that when you're not in your place in church, that your absence is a discouragement to others? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Have you ever stopped to think when you're not in your place in church, not only is your absence a discouragement to others, have you stopped to think you've just missed out on what God's prepared for you? God had something He wanted to say to you. And God had something He wanted to do in your life. You've missed out on that. Do you understand that when you're not in your place in the services, that you're not being exhorted and encouraged in your walk to go on and live for Christ and serve the Lord and be fruitful for Christ? I'm just saying that's part of our abiding experience. To abide in the Lord, we've got to be spending time in His Word. To abide in the Lord, we've got to be spending time in prayer. To abide in the Lord, we need the encouragement. We need the fellowship. We need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that we get in our church. And we don't need little of it. And we don't need less of it. As we see the day approaching, we need more of it. You know why? Because we're living in a world that's constantly pulling us away from our vine. Constantly pulling us away from our Savior. Constantly pulling us away from the things that are right in the eyes of the Lord. And we don't need less of it. We need more of it. We need more of it. And here's another aspect of abiding in the vine. Look over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And that is keeping short accounts with God. What I mean by that is that when you know you've done wrong, when you know you've sinned against God, don't let it go on in your life. Don't continue to repeat the same sin in your life. Confess it to God and get it out of your life. 1 John chapter 1, if you would please. 1 John chapter 1, let's keep short accounts with God. Let's don't flirt with what we know is sin. Let's don't play around with that which we know is wrong. We'll deal with that a little bit tonight in our evening service. As we come back tonight and as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to be looking in the Bible tonight at a passage of Scripture that really challenges us about whose table we're sitting at. Are we sitting at the table of our Savior, or are we sitting at the table of this world? Are we sitting at the table of sanctification, or are we sitting at the table of sin? Where are we sitting? Where are we sitting as God's people? And you know, we can get so attuned with just doing our own thing, going our own way, and just living however we want to live as a Christian. By the way, that is not God's will for any Christian. God's will for us is to live becoming of the gospel of Christ that has saved us. It's never God's will for us just to live any old way we ought to live. That doesn't mean we're perfect people, because we're not. That doesn't mean that we don't struggle between the flesh and the spirit, because we do. But when we yield to sin and give in to sin, the right response of the abiding Christian is one of confession. It's one of confession. Of saying, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, and it's wrong, and I don't want to do it again, because I want to abide in the vine. And why do I want to abide in the vine? Because I want to be a fruitful Christian. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I want to be a much-fruit Christian. Because it's herein is my Father glorified, when you bear much fruit. And it's then that people are able to look at you and say, that's a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's a follower of the Lord. So shall ye be my disciples. In 1 John chapter 1, notice if you would please, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our what? Sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our what? sins and to cleanse us from all what? I'm so thankful for the forgiveness of God. And I'm thankful that God is willing to forgive us, and I'm thankful that God is willing to cleanse us. But I want to say here this morning something that I said Wednesday night in our service Wednesday night. You can push God to the very limit of His long-suffering and patience and goodness in your life. And if you do, you're inviting His chastisement upon you. What's God say to do about our sins? If we what? Confess our sins. Let's keep short accounts with God. No, we're not perfect people. No, we're not always going to do what's right. But when we fall, when we sin, let's confess it to God. Let's pick ourselves up. Let's get back on the right road. Let's don't repeat the error over and over and over and over and over. If it's sin, it's sin. Let's get it out of our lives. Because God says over in the book of Proverbs that if we confess our sins and forsake them, we shall find mercy. And I don't know about you, but I need God's mercy in my life. Well, I do know about you. We all need God's mercy in our lives. If it were not for the Lord's mercies, the Bible says we'd all be consumed. God just get fed up with all of us and just, I mean, zap us out. God can do that, can He? So how do we abide in Christ? We know we've got to abide in Christ in order to bear forth fruit. First of all, it begins in your heart, a heart of desire. Then secondly, there's some actions of abiding that have to take place. And thirdly, you yield yourself every day in fellowship and communion with the Lord. You make that a priority in your life. So you make that a priority in your life. Look over in the book of Colossians, if you would please. Colossians chapter 3. You've got to make it a priority in your life that you're going to walk in fellowship with the Lord. You're going to walk in communion with the Lord. That's going to be a daily priority in your life. We're all busy. I know we're all busy. We all have way more to do than we'll ever get done. I understand that thought. I understand those actions. I understand all that. But have you ever thought about the things that do get done in your life? Why do some things get done and other things don't? You do the things that are important to you. That's what you do. You do the things that are important to you. Yesterday, I could have stayed home and mowed my yard. Yesterday, I could have washed my car and my wife's vehicle. They're both pretty dirty. They both could use it. Yesterday, I could have gone fishing. Hadn't been in quite some time. Man, been a good day to go fishing. Yesterday, I could have gone to the grocery store for my wife. By the way, if we don't go in a few days, we'll have nothing to eat anyhow. But instead, I went out passing out flyers. Now, why did I do that? Why did I do that rather than some of these other things and a multitude of other things that I could have done? Because it was important to me. It was important to me. Does everybody follow me on this? You will begin to abide in Christ when it becomes important to you. Not until. Pastor Silas knocks his head out, pours his life into teenagers, tries to get them serious about the Lord and coming along spiritually with the Lord. And regardless of everything he does to try to move those teenagers, the truth of the matter is, they'll never get moved until it becomes important to them. I spent 32 years of my life in here, investing it in a group of people, trying to bring a group of people to an understanding of a message that ought to be our lives. That ought to be that which we live for. That ought to be that which we are willing to sacrifice for and knock our lives out for. We call it the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should look for the gospel. We should live to make Christ known. And we should live to preach Christ. And that ought to be our heart. And that ought to be our drive. And that ought to be our lives. And that's what it ought to be about. What this church ought to be about. And I tell you, after 32 years, some people have caught the vision and some people haven't. Why do some people live for Christ and the gospel and others in this church don't? Because it's not important to them. It's not important to them. And I don't care what I do as a pastor, it will not move the rock of Gibraltar until it becomes important to them. I don't know what it has to take for it to become important in some people's lives. I think it really has to take sometimes the death of a loved one that they never even told about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it takes to move people, but I know this, people don't get moved until things become important to them. In the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says this, and I'll be done with this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on all the things that you've got your affections on down here on this earth, because they're so satisfying and so fulfilling and so much fun. No. Look what it says in verse 2. Set your affections where? On things above, not on things of the what? Earth. When will people begin to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ? When it becomes important to them. When it becomes important to them. I don't know what you have to go through for it to become important to you. I don't know what you have to lose in order for it to become important to you. I do know this. I know Jesus is the true vine. I know you and I as believers are the branches. And I know God the Father is the one who holds the pruning shears in His hand. And I know that He'll either take your branch and cut it out because it's a dead branch and cast it in the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. You yourself will be saved. The Bible says, yet so is by what? Fire. But where will your reward be? Nowhere. Or else He'll take that branch and He'll prune it. He'll see some things in your life that you're not honoring to Him. They're not pleasing to Him. That you're not willing to deal with, but He is. And He'll prune those things from your life. It may be very painful, but He'll do it in order for you to bring forth more fruit. For herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my what? Let's bow together in prayer.